From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Is it 4:15 there?
It is 4:15 in Sydney.
We do appreciate you getting up in the early hours, and I'm sure you'll go out after this and run around the waterfront and have a good time. Services still in contraction. How worried are we? What is the number? It was 48 point something, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's that time again when we get the monthly read on the services and manufacturing sector. And Mike, look, contrary to what it sounds like recently, I'd love to come on and wax lyrical about how healthy these sectors are, but the reality is that's just not what we're seeing. The fact from this data series, when I look at it, is that we've actually struggled to post sustainable periods of expansion in the services sector, actually since 2022. We've never quite got there. The print for April, yeah, you're right, for the BNZ Business New Zealand Performance and Services, 48.9, so implies the services sector is contracting. Look, I'm trying to look for positives here. Are there any silver linings? Well, the degree of contraction is not as great as it was in March, 46.2, so it looks a little bit better. And if I actually look at the sub-indexes, the new orders component, which is sort of forward-looking, it printed at 51.2. Unfortunately, all the other components were under 50 and contracting. And we do sort of look weak on when we compare ourselves to the global comparisons as well. So, you look at the manufacturing on Friday, small level of expansion, but it's actually telling a story of economy that looks to me like it's under, a bit of pressure. Yep. In particular, I note now employment, Mike, the employment component looks pretty subdued, and I think this signals a real risk that the unemployment rate drifts higher than the current 5.3%. Look at the composite index, combined manufacturing services. It suggests that for the quarter, the Q2 quarter, it's starting with a fairly anemic growth impulse, which doesn't bode well for Q2 GDP, particularly after that promise that we saw in Q1. And the only point, the final point that I would add, is when you look at the sector breakdown, Mike, really tough for accommodation, cafes, restaurants. So HOSPO really finding that, the fact that discretionary spending is getting hurt by higher energy prices and sort of low confidence, that they just can't seem to buy a break, can the HOSPO sector at the moment.
The Chinese, I didn't see a lot of hope there either, actually.
Yeah, no, there isn't there. So Trump's been and gone. They've now got Putin there. We have a commitment, and nothing really came out of that US-China summit, did it? Look, we do have a commitment to keep listeners updated on the economic fortunes of our biggest trading partner. Big data dump yesterday, so I'll quickly romp through the headlines. Retail sales weaker than expected, just 0.2% rise in April. They're seeing the weakest growth in retail sales at the moment since the post-pandemic sort of reopening in early 2023. Get this one on new home prices. This is data taken from 70 cities. Even though it looks like there might be some signs of stabilization, year on year fell 3.5%. So if you're worried about house prices here, new home prices in China have fallen for 34 consecutive months. So still a big headwind for that. Still a big headwind for the Chinese economy. Fixed asset investment, that's pretty important. It's fallen 1.6% year on year. Month-on-month growth, steepest decline since February 2020. This is all cheery stuff, isn't it? Industrial production. Now, it rose 4.1% year-on-year. Unfortunately, though, people were hoping that would come in at 6. So the oil price very much impacting on factory activity there. It's growing at the weakest pace in 3 years. The drums are beating, Mike, for government fiscal stimulus because it is challenging times for the Chinese domestic economy.
Okay. And then we come to the long money, the bonds. How edgy is this getting?
Well, I think this is really interesting. So we're 11 weeks in now, Mike. The Strait of Hormuz test, are the boats going through the Strait? No. The oil price is still holding up. Inflation starting to become sort of quite very much a global concern. I just might note that the US 30-year bond has gone to 5.13%. That's the highest we've seen on that 30-year bond since 2007, so almost in 20 years. Now, if you recall after Liberation Day, Mike, after the markets had all the tariff tantrums, it seemed that there was particular sensitivity within the Trump administration to a lift in these longer bond yields. We're seeing that again, albeit not as steep and as sort of sudden as it was, but it'd be interesting to see if that does prompt some response.
Give me some numbers.
Sure. The Dow Jones is down 85 points, 49,440. That's 0.17%. The S&P 500, 7,378, down 30 points, 0.41%. The NASDAQ is down 305 points as I look at it, 1.17%, 25,917. So weak start to the week. FTSE 100, though, they had a great day yesterday, up 1.25%, 128 points, 10,323. The Nikkei fell just under 1%, 60,815. Shanghai Composite, sort of virtually unchanged, 4,131. Very weak days for Australasia yesterday, Mike. The ASX 200 fell just under 1.5%, 125 points, 8,505, and a pretty horrible day for the local, for the New Zealand share market, fell 1.6%, 202 points, 12,762. One Kiwi dollar, slightly better against the US, 0.5868, 0.8196 against the Aussie. So having my lunch here is kind of expensive at the moment. Against the euro, 0.5039, 0.4374 pounds, 93.29 Japanese yen. Gold trading at 4,545, and Brent crude, $110.86.
I assume you've got your usual opper review room at the Park Hyatt, so you're looking...
Well, actually, you wouldn't get much view because it is rainy and grim. Oh, so enjoy the weather there, Mike.
Good on you, mate. Nice to catch up. We'll see you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.